Nice to see all you enthusiastic devotees here. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, text 11 and 12. We'll read text 11 together. It's there, yes. Kindly repeat. Chintam aparimayam cha pralayantam upasritaha kamo Paboga Parama Etavad Iti Nishchitaha Shintam Aparimayam Cha Pralayantam Upasritaha Kamupaboga Parama Etavad iti nishitaha Shintam aparimayam cha Pralayantam upasritaha Kamupaboga parama Etavad iti nishitaha. Someone else. Ladies, okay, I read the second verse also, and I read myself. Asak pasasatar iti bara kama krodha parayanaha yanti kama bogartam anyayen artasanchayan. I just read translation. There is something going on back there, okay. If you feel you need translation, if you don't need it, don't worry. Okay, kindly repeat. Chintam, fears and anxieties. Okay, does the translator have a Bhagavad Gita for? She needs in her own language to have. Fears and anxieties. Will the translation work? Aparimayam, immeasurable. Countless fears and anxiety. Cha and pralaya antam unto the point of death. You know, you will not get out of it until, and then a time of death. I don't know what after death, maybe more anxieties. Not for the devotees, hopefully. Okay, Hare Krishna. Upasritaha having taken shelter of kama upaboga, sense gratification, paramaha, the highest goal of life. Etavat, thus, iti, in this way, nishitaha, having ascertained, asapasa, entanglements in a network of hope, satai, by hundreds, baraha, being bound, kama, of lust, krodha, and anger, parayanaha, always situated in the mentality, yante, they desire kama, lust, boga, sense enjoyment, artam, for the purpose of anyayena, illegally, artam, of wealth, sanchayan, accumulation. Translation. They believe that to gratify the senses is a prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of the life, their anxiety is immeasurable, bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires and absorbed in lust and anger that secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. Kindly repeat. They believe that to gratify the senses is a prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of the life, of life, their anxiety is immeasurable, bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires, and absorbed in lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. Nonsense. Krishna. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. The demonic accept that enjoyment of the senses is the ultimate goal of life, and this concept they maintain until death. They do not believe in life after death, and they do not believe that one takes on different types of bodies according to one's karma or activities in this world. Their plans for life are never finished, and they go on preparing plan after plan, all of which are never finished. We have a personal experience of a person of such demonic mentality who, even at the point of death, was requesting the physician to prolong his life for 4 years more because his plans were not yet complete. Such foolish people do not know that a physician cannot prolong life even for a moment. Well, that's interesting. What's the use of them? Any case, let's see. When the notice is there, there's no consideration of the man's desire. The laws of nature do not allow a second beyond what one is destined to enjoy. The demonic person who has no faith in God or the supersoul within himself performs all kinds of sinful activities simply for sense gratification. He does not know that there is a witness sitting within his heart. The supersoul is observing the activities of the individual soul. As it is stated in the Upanishads, the two birds sitting in one tree. One is acting and enjoying or suffering the fruits of the branches, and the other is witnessing. But one who is demonic has no knowledge of Vedic scripture, nor has he any faith. Therefore, he feels free to do anything for sense enjoyment, regardless of the consequences. Om Aganati Miranda Shagana Ganasalakya Shakshurun Militam Yanatasme Sri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Praya Krishna Prishna Bhattaraya Srimata Bhaktivedanta Svanta Namana. Namaste Sarasvata Devi Guruvani Prachanani Visesa Sunivari Paskatyara Satarana. So the verse was, verses, Chintama parimeyam cha pralayantam upasritaha kamupaboga parama etavar iti nishitaha asapasa satair bradha kamakrodu parayanaha ihante kamabogartam anyane yartasanchayan. They believe that to gratify the senses is a prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of life, their anxiety is immeasurable. Bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires and absorbed in lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. So the Bhagavad Gita, we say, has three divisions of three subjects in a way. We speak about karma, karma yoga, specifically in the first six chapters. It's more kind of given an emphasis on that. And then the bhakti yoga is more highlighted in the six middle chapters. And then the last six chapters is more focused on jnana, or there's more element of jnana, like here, divine and demonic qualities giving what is that, or the three modes of material nature, and like that. Sacrifice, the 17th chapter will speak about sacrifice. And then the 18th chapter, Krishna gives, starts with, again, a question about renunciation of the renounced order of life. And then Krishna speaks many verses describing knowledge and happiness and work in different modes of material nature, in different aspects. And then he gives a slight insight into Varnashram, gives a delineation of the qualities of the four varnas, the qualities and work. And then he goes to speak about how everyone can become perfect by performing his own work for the sake of pleasing the Supreme. But then, also he warns, he says, you may think it's better to perform your own duty even though it's faulty done than do another's duty even if you do it nicely. But he said, every fire, just like fire is covered, every fire is covered by some smoke. In the same way, and every endeavor there's some fault. So we may think, oh, there's some fault in my duties. I'm not doing it perfectly, therefore I should stop doing my duties. But rather, no, it's okay. It may not be perfect, but you do a duty. Because that's the question, what is our duty? And then he goes on explaining something, meditation or whatever, and you get to level of Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Nasochanti nakankshati samasavesha bhutashu madbhaktim labhate param. So going through, he brings it to the pure devotional service. It's the standard of pure devotional service where you're satisfied in the Supreme. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. You're satisfied in realizing the Brahman, the Supreme. And then you have nothing to hanker for and nothing to lament for. And that's a kind of a contrast to today's verse. You have the demons, the materialists, they are hankering and they're lamenting. They're never satisfied. They have no satisfaction within, so they're looking for satisfaction without. But the devotees are looking for satisfaction within, and they're finding satisfaction within, and thus they don't so much depend on external stimulus for being satisfied. Because there's some stimulus, but... And so, Ramabhuta prasanatmana sochantina kankshati sama savesha bhutashu, and if you all living entities equally, with equal vision. He does not make a differentiation between friends and enemies. He doesn't really see friends and enemies. Someone like Adyata Shatru, Yudhisthira Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj was also named sometimes Adyata Shatru, someone whose enemy is not born. But we know that Yudhisthira Maharaj, it was not that he didn't have enemies, but he did not see any enemies. He didn't see anyone as his enemy. So that, and then what Krishna says is that in that stage, in that position, you can attain pure devotional service. And then explaining, then Krishna says, Manmanabha, not Manmana, yes. Manmanabha vamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam vivashasi satyam te pratidhyana priyosime. Manmana, always think of me. Become my devotee. Offer your obeisances to me and worship me. Thus you come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. So then Krishna says, well, you just be my devotee. Okay, so that's for the devotees. A little bit later on there Krishna says, no, this is not to be spoken to the non-believers, these secrets. And then, of course, in a way, why are we preaching? Who can we preach to? Of course, we can say there may be someone who's not qualified when you have a public program, Prabhupada says, but devotees may take some risk. But at the same time, we preach so that people become devotees and thus can take it. And of course, if someone is really antagonistic, if you encounter someone who's really antagonistic, it's maybe not the best thing to speak about pure devotional service. More, intimate or elevated matters. And we can say, speak in one sense according to the audience, trying according to time, place, and circumstances. Okay, so the point is, there's like the last six chapters focus a little bit more on jnana, knowledge of various aspects of existence, of nature, like that, and how to elevate yourself. Still, the conclusion is to think of Krishna, be his devotee, so for your obeisances and worship him. And then fully surrender to him. So here we have the contrast is the demons. So Krishna describes the demons, and previously here it's said that it's someone either you're born a demon. You're born because the divine qualities, the divine and demonic, so there's the divine qualities and the demonic qualities. And Krishna says later on, well, I don't know if he later on says, he has said it already, that Arjuna, he says, Arjuna, you don't worry. Because as a good devotee, we think, well, actually, I'm a demon. As a good devotee. Well, as a good devotee, we will see the faults in ourselves. And we may not pay so much attention to the faults of others, whereas others maybe pay attention to others' faults and not their own faults. So that the devotees don't pay attention to others' faults, pay attention to their own faults and think, oh, I have so many faults, so I'm a demon. Well, Krishna says, no. Well, at least Arjuna, he said, no, you're not a demon. You're born with divine qualities. Because now maybe we, born some good 5,000 years later, can say, we are really demons. We can say, we are born in demonic families, dynasties, or at least materialistic dynasties. We're born in a materialistic society, that's for sure. So we can say we're demons. But of course, Prahlad Maharaj was also born in a demon family. But of course, by the preaching of Narada Muni, of course, Prahlad Maharaj, maybe there was something before that also. But some another, Prahlad Maharaj got blessed by hearing Narada Muni speak. And thus he was transformed. Well, transformed. I don't know if he was transformed because I take it that he was already a pious soul. I mean, Narada Muni knew he was a qualified, he was going to become a pure devotee of the Lord, a great devotee of the Lord. Whereas the demigods, the elevated demigods, they thought that if the father is like that, what is the son going to be like? Better. We, as a good policy, we have to eliminate, as a good political policy, we must eliminate our enemies. You have to uproot the enemies. You know, they shouldn't be able to, the seed shouldn't have a time to spread its roots in the ground. That was what the demigods thought, very intelligently, politically, and most probably totally correct. Maybe not nowadays, but in those times. But then Narada Muni said, no, stop. You can't. They were kidnapping, what was it, Kayadu was the name of, and Kayadu, the mother of Prahlad, while Hiranyakashipu was making the austerities. And they was going to kill the child or something. Narada Muni said, no, let me take care of this. So he preached to, of course, that's interesting. That's the question of preaching. You know, how do you do preaching? But I mean, Narada Muni is quite selective. But the point is, he's smart. Why? Someone was saying, why waste time? Preach to those who are not interested or not qualified or who is not ripe. We had some discussion, something trees. Cherries hanging on the trees. So let them become, don't pick them when they're immature. So that the test is to lay, now here's some ripe cherry, ripe apple, ripe mango. Let's take it and offer it to Krishna. So in that way, Narada Muni preached to Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, so he's in a demonic family. So that's a far out thing. That's the most demonic father gets the most devotional child. And then we are trying to be such a good devotees sometimes. You know, his movement, and yes, my child is going to be a pure devotee, and they may or may not turn out pure devotees. So you think, you know, it's kind of mysterious. Where, how is it, you know, what makes it happen like that? Because we can say we may not fully understand everything. We are not Krishna. Krishna knows everything. But there is some, here stated that so some are born, you can be born with divine qualities or divine born with demonic qualities. And I heard some astrologer, well, someone had consulted an astrologer for some reason or another. Maybe it was a marriage problem, and there was child. Then again, so they had apparently divine stars. Okay, you have these different stars. You know, you're born in science, and then but there's also a star, and then so that's like the Deva stars, Manushya stars, human stars, and then demonic stars. So some are born more under the influence of the devic stars, and some of the human stars, and then the and that is, I don't know, it doesn't really have to do with the family, I believe. So you know what star you get. But if you have a deva star, you don't really feel at home here. Mostly, it's likely. So maybe the devotees, maybe sometimes or more. You don't really feel at home. You say, I don't really feel at home here in this material world. Say, well, congratulations. Very good. You shouldn't. You are not at home here. It's a material existence of birth and death. And the state in here hopes in measure in immeasurable anxiety in this existence. There's no end to the story. So if you don't feel at home, it's perfectly fine because you are not at home. Because Ananta very kindly said, "Welcome home, Maharaj." Okay, says, "Thank you." So someone says that some places you feel at home, and another place you may be at home, but maybe not feel at home. You may feel at home even if you're not at home. Okay, so any case, so if you don't feel at home in this world, great. Then these Manushya stars understood. Was more, they kind of feel okay. They do quite, what's the problem? Well, and of course, devas, these demonic stars, of course, I don't know, maybe they feel at home here also. Then the explanation that maybe it's not so drastic that, you know, born with the deva stars, you have horns and whatever, tail and a demon, real demon like that. But just that you may be a little bit more selfish, I was explained. You know, you kind of more readily grab for yourself, and that can. Any case, so we may have a little bit different qualities, but somehow or another, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we're sitting here today. I also explained that the living entity is wandering in so many cycles, so many births and deaths, and then finally comes to the human form of life, and then maybe by the will of Krishna, or by the combined mercy of, well, maybe meets a guru, and then he gets the mercy of Krishna, and then his love for Krishna, his Krishna consciousness starts. And that is a seed. I think that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about the seeds of devotional service. How it's then implanted, exactly, the seed is planted by the guru in the heart of the disciple, and then that seed starts to root and grow, and there's a, what do you call it? It's not a weed, it's a creeper, it's something that kind of climbs up like that to and enter into the spiritual world, and then finally fully bears fruits. Flowers and then fruits of love of Krishna. So that's, we've gone through many different births, but now we're sitting here today, thanks Krishna. And Krishna gives a description, divine or demonic qualities, so we know, so we have some idea, and then maybe for our preaching we can say yes, our modern society is the principles on which our modern society is based are demonic. Materialistic, he says, you know, what is the problem? Just satisfy your senses. We had a nice walk in the town now, buying something, and nice, everything very nicely arranged. Oh, very nice. Well, in one sense, for sense gratification. The credit of our civilization is now and here is the credit they have is They're making nice arrangements for sense gratification, and you can go and chant Hare Krishna there. You know, that is their democratic states or whatever, democratic or to where they are. Well, these may be materialistic in one sense, but when they don't obstruct, their credit is they don't obstruct the chanting of the holy name. Of course, if you behave completely crazy, maybe they will interfere. But if it's saintly, appropriately chant the holy name in the streets and like that, they don't. So you do even need a permission here? Maybe. In general, not. If it's really big or something, Rath Yatra, if there's Rath Yatra, it's a big thing. We have to walk in the street. But otherwise, we can go and chant, you know, we can go and devotee clothes with tilak and whatever. It's no one arrests us and puts us in jail or something here. So it's kind of pious. Well, that's to the credit. Otherwise, okay. So that is Krishna's mercy. There is this situation we're in. There is a progressive materialistic civilization. At the same time, there is a possibility of preaching at the same time going on. And that is maybe as we then saw in the 12th canto, third chapter, verse 51, I believe it is. Or 51. We said that this Kali Yuga is everything is bad. Well, the computers are maybe good. Maybe even the devotees are bad sometimes. Sometimes we feel like these devotees are too much. They don't keep their word and they break their vows and they, you know, quarrel and borrow money and don't pay back the money and I don't know what. They do all kind of stupid things sometimes. Because they do good things also. In case we can say because everything is bad, but that's one good thing. Even sometimes devotees are not perfect and complete as we would have hoped them to be. And of course, then we can say then this is a demonic mentality, materialism. Yeah, they are so bad. But the real devotee will say, yeah, I'm bad. Okay, then let me be better. Okay, so the point was, well, so everything is bad. The cars are bad, you know. They could make better cars that didn't corrode. And we saw Nikola Tesla, there was some exhibition of him. You know, he wanted to give free electricity to everyone wirelessly or something. They said, no, that's not good, you know. There should be limitations. It would cost money. It should be, any case. The food looks good, but it's bad. You know, any case, they commercially produced. So in that way, some many bad things. But there is one good thing, because they're chanting the holy name. So that's one good thing with the devotees. They chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes, you know, you wonder, you know, what's going on. But you can find all kind of different kind of people chanting Hare Krishna, I think. And they should be in a special way, but they don't really fit into being in a special way. But if they're chanting Hare Krishna, we think, you know, well, then that's something good. They got something right. And of course, then there's maybe others, common people. How was that, the joke in the newspaper? What is something?
They ask some visitor if he knows some song from the Franz Epper Scherer. And then he said, yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Because the word is every week, every day, they have Harinam under this statue.
Yes. You know, I hope you know. In any case, a statue in the town, and the devotees are sitting there chanting Hare Krishna, and then statue of a poet or a songwriter, and then so they ask, "What's? Do you know anything? Any song of him?" Yes. Well, of course. So they become so strongly associated with this statue and this place. And I suppose it was a joke, or. And it's a nice joke, because the one who made the joke had heard the chanting Hare Krishna. So, in one sense, there's so much chanting of Hare Krishna going on. there is chanting of Hare Krishna going on in society, and that we should be appreciative of. We should, and we in our way try to expand that preaching or chanting. And that way, gaining a higher taste and having a higher taste, not being allured by the lower taste, like the demon or the materialistic described here. You taste, if I just have this or that or whatever, but you will never have enough. maybe we need something. That was, what was his name? Vamandev. Okay, Vaman. Vamandev came and asking charity from the big demon king. What was now his name? I forgot. Bali, yes, Bali Maharaj. So then he says, yeah, I just want some charity. So, yes, please take. What do you want? I just want 3 steps of land. So 3 steps of land. You don't know your real self-interest, the materialist will say, you know. 3 steps, we can give you 3 steps, we give you free internet. We can give you free internet for the rest of your life. Well, that's ambition. Everyone should have internet more or less for free. So you can be brainwashed, controlled. Okay, so then it's, but then I say, no, some, if you're not satisfied with 3 steps of land, you're never satisfied. And then, sorry, but that's what it said. And then 3 steps of land, that is as much land you need to put out your sleeping bag. And this, I think this is instruction valid for a brahmachari. A brahmachari satisfied. For brahmachari, I mean, it's not so easy. But for the brahmacharis, I know, it's quite easy. Just have a place to put out the sleeping bag. This sleeping mat and sleeping bag, and then under a little bit of roof, and then they're quite happy, serving in various ways. Hare Krishna. Samkirtan ki jai. Devotional service ki jai. Higher taste ki jai. Any question or comment? Yes, Prabhu.
Sometimes we see that people like to collect so many things, it never makes them happy. And we can see that devotees also like to collect a lot of books, a lot of shilas.
Yes.
Like, get 3,000 shilas, he's planning to get 3,000 more. And what, he has all covered the books, and then he wants to, he needs to buy 2 more covers.
Okay? Yes, yes. Books,
I mean, and then if someone has a wife, if I tell, what are you going to do with all those shilas and books? Are you crazy? What's wrong with you? So where is the... And sometimes he's even criticized that he's over-collecting.
Yes.
So how is it, I mean, when one collects so many books?
Yeah, well, maybe it's something in the blood. In my own case. That means, where can I put a more shelf? To put, yes, yeah, there's the instinct to collect shilas, because it's, yeah, well, that I wondered about the shilas. But there's an attractive force in the shilas in a way. And then why? Why so? When then you ask, why so many? Why so many, you know? Okay, yes. So, of course, the question then is, well, I would say, if you're truly attracted, if the nice books about devotional service, pure devotional service, or whatever various relevant devotional service there, or the progression of whatever Krishna consciousness, the movement, maybe there's different categories, so that it still relates to some way. Then, of course, shilas, of course, 3,000. If you have 3,000, why another 3,000? Anyway, someone collected from Scotland And they took, you know, thousands of Sheilas. And then afterwards I spoke to someone from Scotland. And said, yeah, that's okay, and they took the Sheila, but why did they have to take everything? Why not leave something for some others also? So we can say, maybe I would say that is over-collecting, you know, the principle is you're a sannyas. You take a little bit everywhere, okay. You don't go to one take and take a big all the Sheilas in one place. You might take a little bit here and there. So that way, of course we said also over collection. Well, that's atyahara, over collection and over following too much and collecting too much. Too much following and too little following. That's like these two different sides of it. Okay, so then, well, maybe it's just simply that someone is attracted to books, or devotional books, and likes to have a nice library too. And maybe also share it with others. If you have a library, friends can come and look and, you know, borrow and read and, you know. So then that's a good, good thing to have a library for friends and others to borrow also. But if it's just, well, let's see how... See how many books I've collected of this. Okay, then we are on the wrong track. Or see how many Sheilas I have. I don't know, maybe that is, could be sometimes. But then I could say, well, at one point, one Sheila is not, and we could say like Vamandev. Well, you can have so many Sheilas. Well, no, three are enough. If you're not satisfied with three, you will never be satisfied. So, of course, but they do have an attractive power, the Sheilas. That's the reason why the Sheilas, Shalagram Sheilas, they have. It's not just a stone. It's not just that we say, oh, it's a Sheila. You know, they have attractive power. So, but again, if the motivation is, oh, I want to have more, I want to, in a way, as a compensate for your lack of devotion, and we say, you know, then I met Dinabandhu Prabhu recently from Vrindavan. He was at Almik's Court, some Bhakti Sangam festival. So I said, oh, Prabhu, do you have any Sheilas? I said, no, I don't have Sheilas. Oh, I actually have. I have 108. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And so he's a real cool bridge basi. You know, maybe we were not fully satisfied by chanting the holy name on our beads, so we need some Sheila also. But then when we're, okay, that's okay. But then, if it is a way of showing off, then it's definitely that's not pure devotional service. Of course, still it's Sheilas. It's still something. Maybe devotional books. That's it. Panchatattvakirti. So maybe we have some need to collect. So maybe it's better we collect Sheilas and books than we collect money overly. At the same time, you should have money so your wife doesn't starve to death or something like that. some necessities, what's needed, so that we can engage in devotional life, can fulfill our human duties and progress in devotion to Krishna, in knowledge and renunciation also. Okay. Any other question or comment? Good. And it's good time to end. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.